Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes today. So if you find the Psalms, take a right. You'll see Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and find chapter 9. We'll be reading chapters 9 and 10, taking devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes and this perspective that can be a little puzzling sometimes, Lord, and yet kind of the reality of the heart when we're not looking at you. Lord, help me to see your view of what's here today and be able to apply it to my life to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have part in anything that happens under the sun. Now, you've got to keep this in context. Keep it in context of the writing. This is literature is Hebrew poetry. Keep it in context of who's talking here, the wisest man on earth, in poetic form. Keep in mind that he is giving a particular perspective of going after things in this world, and yet they all pass away, and they all have the same destiny, and that's death. He's not dealing with the issue right now of the afterlife or what God's word says about heaven and hell. He also says here at the end of verse 6, never again will they have part in anything that happens under the sun. And that's obviously absolutely true. This is what happens when you just look at the sinfulness of people's hearts and realize they all end up in this life the same way. Verse 7, go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart, and God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead where you're going, there's neither working nor planning nor knowledge or wisdom. Again, remember the context here. His basic thought is, enjoy what you have here on earth. Verse 11, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Kind of reverts back here to what we're used to in Proverbs. So he points out that everybody's going to die, okay? So enjoy what you have now. He also points out that in the end, wisdom is better than the unwise, better than folly. Chapter 10, Proverbs 10. Where am I? I'm in Ecclesiastes. Let's go with Ecclesiastes 10 then. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, but this sounds a lot like Proverbs, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. No political comments, please. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. If a snake bites before its charm, the charmer receives no fee. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning of their words are folly, at the end they are wicked madness, and fools multiply words. Talked about quite a bit in Proverbs. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? The toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. Woe to the land whose king was a servant, whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through laziness the rafters sag, because of idle hands the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky can carry your words and a bird on the wing may report what you say. That's the end of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 10. Trust me, I am in the right place. And the end of our reading for today. Almost like the Proverbs, you can pick out one of the sayings that really strikes your attention and apply it. I think the idea, though, especially of Ecclesiastes 9, that sticks out to me is there is a balanced, healthy perspective that the life we now live, that although the rest of Scripture gives the balance and says, yes, it's very important how you live now because the afterlife is coming, there's a sense in which we do all die and we only have a certain amount of time on earth and we should enjoy what God has given us. Now, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he's going to wrap it up really well, pointing our eyes back to God. But I do think that there is helpfulness in this poetic literature to remember that, yes, life is short, and let's enjoy the blessings that God has given us. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes, Lord. I sometimes have a hard time really understanding it, so far removed from me and the type of literature that it is, and the way that Solomon is coming across here as the wisest man in the world, and yet he seems very foolish in some of his perspectives. But Father, as I read this today, there's a lot here, but I want to focus, Father, on the idea that this life is short, and it's only one life. And although the rest of Scripture remind me, Father, of your truth, that I will be with you forever because I've trusted in your Son, I still need to make the most of these days. I need to enjoy the blessings you have given. Help me to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.